Wild spaces in Florida are like plant battlefields. Every day, native species fight it out with invasive species for places to live. Invasive species often leave their native competitors behind so they can take over natural areas if left unchecked. This year, biologists in Florida are asking the question, which species gain an advantage after hurricanes? The natives or the invasives? NPR's Ari Shapiro looks for the answer in the last part of a series on the long-term effects of this year's hurricane season.
On one hand, Florida's native plants have evolved with hurricanes, so they should bounce back quickly after a storm. On the other hand, exotic plants have few natural pests in Florida, so they can put all of their energy into growth. So which group wins? Well, it's still too early to look for the answer in central Florida and the Panhandle. Right now, those ecosystems just look like tree graveyards. But green spaces in southern Florida might provide some clues about what the rest of the state can expect. In an urban Miami park called Matheson Hammock, a woodpecker taps a far-off pine tree. This area somehow dodged Charlie, Francis, Ivan, and Jean. But 12 years ago, it was in the direct path of Hurricane Andrew. Scientists now believe that South Florida's recovery from Andrew can demonstrate how plants in the rest of the state might recover from this year's storms. University of Miami biology professor Carol Horvitz led a team of plant researchers here after Andrew. She found that the battle between natives and invasives had been largely fought and won long before the storm even hit.
What a native forest normally has is it sort of has a nursery of its own species, so that when an opening would happen, the seeds would germinate and the seedlings would start growing.
At Matheson Hammock, no one realized that invasive species had already elbowed the natives out of that plant nursery. And when Andrew opened up the tree canopy, light reached the forest floor, decaying branches and leaves provided extra nutrients, and the invasive plants in the nursery began emerging en masse.
So when those species take off after a hurricane, they cover the entire forest, both the trees that are left standing as well as everything that's downed, with this very, very dense shadow. No plants can grow under that.
Native plants do have one advantage that the invasives do not. Humans working on the natives' behalf, like research entomologist Ted Center.
This is the old world climbing fern. We've just gotten permission to release the first insect on this. It's a little moth called Ostromusotema camptozonale.
The tiny white nondescript moths eat one of Central Florida's most invasive plants, the old world climbing fern. Center is standing before rows and rows of the fern, moth food, at the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Invasive Plant Research Lab in Fort Lauderdale.
They go through this like a hot knife through butter, so we have to have a lot of plant material available to keep them alive.
For 4 years, Center's team has been running safety and effectiveness tests on this moth. Now, he's almost ready to release them into the wild.
You know, the nice thing about insects, and sometimes what is a problem for us, is that they increase. It's like, you know, if you put a herbicide out, you put a certain amount out, and it stays at that amount. If you put an insect out, it increases, and it grows, and it spreads on its own, and it finds the plants.
The problem with insects, says University of Miami's Carol Horvitz, is that they generally feed on only one invasive plant. In natural spaces after a hurricane, there could be dozens or even hundreds of invasives waiting to take over.
Amount of research and the length of time it would take to find a biological control agent for each of those species is impractical.
So, she says, a successful post-hurricane invasive plant management process depends on a very basic technique.
I think it's a massive gardening project.
In South Florida after Hurricane Andrew, Miami-Dade County hired nearly 100 people to go out to Matheson Hammock and other sites every day and weed. The result at Matheson 12 years later?
All these skinny stems that we're looking at here are all natives. There's pigeon plum, there's marlberry, there's white stopper. We passed the wild coffee. If there had not been a management plan here, this would be all exotics, and it might just be dead, covered with a vine.
Horvitz says there's a narrow window before invasives take over, 6 months, maybe a year at the most. But after the initial effort and expense to clear out the invasive plants, she says the site more or less maintains itself. Back in hurricane-ravaged central Florida, if there's an invasive plant management program to be done, Brenda Hancock will be the one to do it.
I'm a regional biologist with the Department of Environmental Protection.
Hancock says there are no firm plans for an invasive plant management project yet.
It kind of depends on funding, really. If our budget gets cut, then that really decreases on what we can do to help other agencies to help with the problems. I'm hoping that people, knowing what the problem has been in the past, will jump on a chance to take advantage of that.
Hancock says her agency's fiscal year is up in June, and she has to wait until then to solicit for new projects, including one to manage invasive plants in hurricane-damaged areas. She hopes that by then, it won't be too late. Ari Shapiro, NPR News.